So that was Weekend by the Boys. Excellent. I like the sound of that. It's perfect. It's the weekend, guys. I mean, even though it's Sunday for me, it's still the weekend. And I hope that you're all really enjoying the weekend. It's a good weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great weekend.
Yep. Yeah, we've had our fun of figuring out our audio stuff. You know, just enjoying the weekend.
You're a regular NASA engineer.
I guess I am. I'm a NASA engineer, guys. I kind of commented, like, if you've ever seen, like, what they had to do when Apollo 13 had that whole accident, that's how I felt in the studio, just, like, looking at all our cables and going, what's going to fix this? How are we going to get this to work? And we got it to work. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. Anyway, what are you going to play up next here?
So this is a another little ditty by the Modettes, and it's their version of Paint It Black, which was done by the Rolling Stones.
All right, cool. Here we go with the Modettes cover of Paint It Black.
Maybe then I fade away and I have to face the Hey, it's the Hip Hop Drip. We keep it real, fresh, juicy, lyrical. We the best.
I mean, we decent.
Subpar is a good word.
I'd at best.
We suck. Don't tune in from 5 to 7 on every weeknight.
Or do.
Or not.
Or don't.
It's up to you.
We don't
please.
Care.
Please.
If you're not doing it, you got nothing better to do.
Dateline, later half of the 20th century. A group of miscreants has gathered in a garage and played a power chord, discovering rock and roll. And there was headbanging everywhere. Flash forward to the latter half of the 2010s, the world is once again in peril. In a time of pipelines running every which way, massive leakage of the internet variety, madmen running for elected office, and massive webups coming through a dubious amount of speakers, one musical genre hopes to be the voice of disgruntled peoples everywhere.
Rock and roll, baby! So join us at KU, where we broadcast not only the revolution, but also all of your best rock. Black Sabbath, The Clash, Talking Heads, David Bowie, you name it, we've got it. And we're ready to blast it high from atop the hill until your ears bleed. So listen from 1 to 3 as KU dishes out all kinds of rock.
You're listening to KU Internet Radio, radio for students by students here at the University of Utah.
Hello, hello, everyone. We are in the second part of the first hour of the show. I'm all over the place right now. I'm sitting here with DJ Nixby, local DJ and journalist. We were talking a little bit about your journalism endeavors and your trip down to Punk Rock Bowling in Las Vegas. Was it a couple weekends ago, if I'm right?
Yeah, it was the last weekend of May, Labor Day? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It was like last weekend in May. The weekend of 26th. It was good.
Right on. And you were saying like Iggy Pop was there. Who else was performing there?
Oh, I saw Iggy Pop, as you said. I saw Coxspar. I saw The Addicts. I saw Discharge. I also saw Alice Bag, of The Bags, that famous California punk band from the 70s. I even saw Television, which was interesting.
Television was there. Wow.
That was pretty nuts. Saw that the first night I was down there.
Wow. And was it like the entire like band itself? Like everyone from the original lineup or?
I guess. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But they played last. It was a club show the night before the actual festival started. And it was like a pretty stout lineup that the Weirdos played. Like I said, Alice Bag played. This group called from, I think, South LA, called Generation Suicida, played, and they're an up and coming, like, very electro punk group, all Latino, Latina. They're great.
All right, on. So, I mean, I saw what the movie, I think it was Los Punks, like, on the whole Hispanic punk subculture in LA right now. And did you see a lot of that at Punk Rock Bowling? A lot of bands from that, besides the band that you just mentioned there?
I don't know if I saw a lot of bands from that side of it, but there was a lot of diversity at Punk Rock Bowling. People from all over, like from Mexico, all over the States, Canada, Europe, all walks of life, you know. It was a really interesting representation of how diverse the punk community really is.
Exactly, because I mean, I'm going to be honest, this is just me. When I hear punk, a lot of the times I just conjure up like a bunch of white people in the 80s who they were progressive, but it was a lot of white people. So what you're saying is it's more diverse now. Like the diversity is very clear and present today.
Well, there's always been very diverse roots in punk.
Right.
If you look back at like the LA scene, or if you look at the DC scene, if you look at the stuff going on that went on in London in the 70s, they all drew from different cultures to make the music. And you know, to help them identify with what they were doing, it definitely got a little bit different in the 80s. And is arguably, you know, you're not wrong. You know, you think of
right.
punk, you think of like white kids with spikes or something like that.
Exactly.
But punk has always been a very diverse community. I can't speak for like, you know, the 40 plus years it's been around.
Right.
But I can say that, you know, even now, there's diverse representation. And these festivals, like Punk Rock Bowling or the Rebellion Festival, show that this kind of music, this kind of movement, is very diverse and speaks to all kinds of people.
Right. I mean, especially now, considering like the powers that be, who's in the White House right now, the Congress that we currently have in charge, it feels like a very important voice for people who aren't being represented in government. It's like almost their way of expressing themselves.
Yeah, totally.
Yep.
What's interesting about punk is basically it's like rock and roll with a philosophy, which is what, you know, how I identify with it. And a lot of what people sing about, you know, are things that actually, like, you know, are everyday struggles, things that matter to them, like, you know, working class stuff or protesting or injustice. You know,
right.
It's all kinds of messages that come, you know, really from the soul, and it's represented in, you know, somewhat of an aggressive way. So punk has always been relevant because every politician that's or every leader that's come around and like taken over this country or some other country, you know, they've caused problems or they are problematic, and punk is like an outlet to sort of express yourself in that way. And arguably it can be and has proven to be very good in building up a strong community. In the 80s, late 70s, you have the Rock Against Racism. In the 70s in California, you had those early punk groups rallying against the rent hike in like places like San Francisco.
Right.
It's been a very rallying thing.
I mean, it feels like in this decade, it's more rallying to me. Like, I feel like it's going to rally. Like,
yeah.
Kind of the way I'm viewing it is Donald Trump is almost like Reagan 2.0, and the people are going to kind of unite against it. But I feel like what we're going to see, this is just kind of my prediction, I kind of see punk going is more of inclusive, like towards other minority groups. Like I mentioned Los Punks in LA, but I feel like that we're going to see maybe a queer explosion in punk. Like queer punk is going to come loud.
Oh yeah.
Throughout this administration.
Absolutely. There's a definite growing representation of queer punk. There's no doubt about that. And certain places like Vague Space or the Beehive have been excellent. You know, even Diabolical Records have been very good at catering to that community and allowing them to, you know, have their space and express themselves and, you know, bring people in.
Right.
But, you know, back in the Bush years when I first got into it, you know, it was very political then too. I mean, punk has always been a political thing. With the Donald Trump thing, I mean, he's just like so shockingly awful that
exactly
people can't help but like want to like do something about it. You know, everyone except for those who want to, you know, stick their head in the sands and, you know, moan about how this, everything's, you know, over or whatever. But punk has always been a rallying tool to like get people motivated.
Right. That's what I was about to say. It sounds like punk is a good rallying call for everyone who feels oppressed.
Yeah, I'd say I would say it's definitely a community that is very good at that. But you, I mean, even that, you know, the reggae community, the hip hop community, all, you know, all other kinds of communities, they have their own ways of helping people identify and rally around. Punk is just one of those things, and I just happen to identify more with that.
Right on, right on. So what are you planning on playing next up here?
So I think in light of the recent British election, which I was following, this song is called Kick Out the Tories by Newton Erotics. They are a 70s punk band that started in 79 and went throughout the 80s. They were very very radical, very progressive. Well, you know, say more radical, but, you know, they their lyricism really dealt with more hardcore political issues. They're kind of like The Clash, but a lot more left. So in light of the recent election, to get the Tories out of government, and because we have the equivalent now running this country,
right,
the song's appropriate.
Well, I mean, shocking, too, the results from that election, too.
Oh, yeah.
I heard Theresa May cried.
Oh, I hope so.
Yep, she cried, and apparently
did.
And some of her staffers were sick to their stomach, which, I mean, it shows the UK kind of stood up to that.
Well, I think, and
the younger generation especially,
you can only screw people over so much before they're like, "This isn't. We're not taking this anymore."
Yep.
And you look at all sorts of things in history. We've had leaders like this, you know, just continue to screw over the working class, or screw over the, you know, the youth, and at some point, you just can't take it anymore. So you do something about it. And I mean, in France, in the late 1700s, they had the guillotine and got rid of a king and a queen. In 1917, the Bolsheviks removed the Tsar, who took absolute responsibility for the disastrous campaign against the Germans in World War I. These things happen, and the reality is like you really cannot squeeze people too hard, because eventually they're not going to take it anymore. And what you saw in England is years of austerity measures being implemented, and programs being cut, and services being denied, opportunities being denied, that you can't do anything, you can't live. And
right.
At some point, you're just not going to do that anymore. And it's happening in this country. And honestly, it'd be interesting to see how people respond to that. And I do see people responding, sort of reacting to what's going on.
Definitely.
So with this song, this is kind of that kind of anthem.
Kick out the Tories, the rulers of this land. They are the enemies of the British working man. And it shows, for that bastard is in unemployment grows. It shows, in the hospitals, factories, in the schools that they close. Evil will triumph if good men say nothing.
Wow, a very big call to arms, political arms. And I guess it ended in a hung parliament, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
The British system is very strange comparative to the American system. Just because you have technically more people in parliament does not necessarily mean a majority. I believe, and I could be wrong about this. You have to have like 326, and the Tories were just short of that.
Oh, wow.
Which is why they're trying to appeal to, well, they were trying to coalition with the Democratic Unionist Party of Northern Ireland, who are remarkably terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They're more far right than the Tories are.